Time now for the hard line.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
The hard line features former St. Louis Blue Cam Jansen.
Now the right by Jansen. Another left by Jansen. Now he goes to the uppercut.
And former Missouri Tiger, T.J. Moe.
Underneath, T.J. Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45. Left sideline, he's got a seam. T.J. Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house. 68 yards.
Whoa, unbelievable.
The hard line starts now.
Hey, welcome into the hard line, 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and 5-9ofthefan.com. TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley joining us shortly. Matt Rocchio running the board with us as well. Cam, you are monitoring the text line the Uge. 855-282-8255. That's 855 Cub Talk because the Cubs actually made the playoffs, Cam.
Mm-hmm. Saw that game.
We're not going to, we'll go baseball shortly, but. Can't go 4 years without making the playoffs without somebody up top getting fired.
There's no way. Something's got to change.
Yeah. So
no, I mean, somebody got fired this, you know, mid-season. So like, I guess you can count that.
But when you get a new manager and still don't do it, what does that mean?
Well, who do you fire then? Gersh.
Well, now Gersh is it?
Exactly. Well, Mo.
Yes.
It's a big decision right there.
But that's exactly who you fire. I mean,
I was going to say who.
We'll get into that later. But okay. I mean, that's the reality of it. Unless you're being instructed by ownership, do this, don't do this. You know, like don't go over the top for David Price. Don't go over the top for you know some guys they missed on. And do go get Dexter Fowler because his personality and you know whatever that would be.
His personality. It's funny.
Well, he was a league average player. You know.
He was just a dude, and
you paid $82.5 million for him. So and now like. Okay, he was an above average. He was a switch hitter, which helped. Mm-hmm. He was a center fielder, which you desperately needed at the time. And you overpaid for him, and you knew you overpaid for him. But he was just a dude. He was always just a dude.
Yeah, he's but one, too, so it's like it adds on.
Right. You also remember at the time had a clubhouse of guys who were kind of a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
So he was the guy that came in with a big smile.
But was he?
He's supposed to be.
But did he?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know this too, Cam. When you're having dumps, such a hard time yourself, it's really hard to have a smile.
Now,
for instance, you're that guy.
Oh, God.
You're the guy who livens up the locker. You had to be as a fourth liner and all that. But even so, that's your personality. You know? You liven up. You joke around. That's who you are.
That got me through the day.
Right.
It got me through the
day. But if you're having a miserable time, like you're losing every fight, which probably never happened, but whatever your case may be.
Five in a row.
Okay. You lose five fights in a row. It's pretty tough to come back to work the next day and happy-go-lucky. I'm the guy that's going to rah-rah everybody.
But you do it. And for me, it was different because that was part of my role. For him, he's making $80 million.
But that was part of his role. I get you. $80 million, sure. But that was part of his role. That's a big reason he got the $80
million.
And maybe
he did. We weren't in the locker room. We don't know. Maybe he was.
We do kind of know. It was reported by Mark Sexton
he wasn't even in it.
Texts and things.
He was the last one to get there because he had his own routine. So he didn't even work out with the guys. And then he was the first one to leave because he has his own routine. So he wasn't even afterwards having lunch or doing anything like that.
Right.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. That bothers me less than if it is, you know, the Mark side. You try to trust people's reporting, but you never know what's true and untrue and sources and all that. I don't know. Mark Saxon, I think, has a pretty good reputation, but we talked about why and such with The Athletic. And anyway, bottom line, do you see him being on the roster next year?
I don't.
The year, Dexter Fowler.
I think he's
owed in the ballpark. I'll check his contract right now. In the ballpark of $60 million.
I think you do keep him, and you see what you can get out of him. And if it doesn't work for the first couple months, then you make the move somehow. How you do that, I don't know. But I think you do roll with him off the bat and see if he could kind of solidify a spot and kind of redeem himself. But back to what? The dude that we were talking about earlier?
So I'm looking here, his adjusted salary, because he has, according to this, and this says in essence, he has the same salary every year. I don't know if it's quite stacked like that. But anyway, yeah, he's owed a ton of money.
A ton of money. And he took advantage of the market at the time. Nothing wrong with that. I think they're going to give him a chance, dude. They're going to have to give him a chance next year. See how he is in training camp. What is it called?
Spring training.
Jesus. Spring training. See how he does. See how he does in April and in May, and see where he's trending, and then kind of go from there. And if he's playing well, then he's playing well.
Fight like hell to get him off the roster this summer.
But if you can't,
this winter.
But what do you do if he's playing garbage first couple months? What do you do with him?
Oh, you don't play him.
Don't play him. Send him out. Eat the money.
Well, you were eating the money this year anyway because he wasn't playing consistently, and then he got hurt. So you ate the money this year. That's baseball, right? You get hurt, you eat the money. That's how it works. I'm looking at his stuff here. His adjusted salary, because his signing bonus was $10 million, but it was $2 million per year over the 5 years. Okay? So that's how that was paid out. I guess it would, you know. And then his base salary is $14.5 million. So his total salary is $16.5 million per year. So you're looking at $50 million.
That was ballpark free.
Right, $49.5 million. That's what you're looking at here.
Whoa, whoa.
So you've already paid him, assuming this is right, 2017, 2018 over here, you have already paid him $33 million.
And what'd you get out of it?
Well, remember,
you got Harrison Bader.
In 2016, he actually slugged .488. He actually had some power. And Hadley's pointed this out a couple times, that was largely over a 30-game period. But, well, you still did it, right? Matt Carpenter sucked for 6 weeks, and then he sucked for 4 weeks at the end of the season. But right in the middle there,
he was dominant. MVP
He ended up slugging, you know, 5-something this year, 520 or whatever it was. And he, like, as you just pointed out, MVP talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care when it comes, if that's your final number. It sucks that it's not consistent because you can really help and then really not help.
Yeah.
But he was something. This year he was nothing, Cam.
No, I know. Not at all. And you might have to bite the bullet on that and kind of see where he's at going into spring training next year. And then again, evaluate from there. Gino chimes in and goes, your description of Fowler sounds exact same situation with the Blues and Bozak. Good God, Gino.
Bozak hasn't played one game.
Not one game.
Bozak's a really interesting way to say Steen.
And well, he goes, baseball sure is something, huh, Cam? Yeah, it is something, isn't it?
Well, it is.
It is, Gino. It is. Thank you. Thank you, Gino.
I didn't realize Dexter Fowler was so tall. 6'5".
Dang.
So I'm looking at his stuff here on Baseball Reference now. 6'5", 195 pounds. That sounds right. But, we're going to dig it. We have all offseason to do all this, but... You dive into everybody this year, right? I mean, who had a good season for the Cardinals and who didn't? That's going to be the discussion all offseason, along with where can you plug these holes and who with. And Dexter Fowler, to me, he cannot be a starter on this team. Look, if Harrison Bader's sitting for one game next year, because of Dexter Fowler, I'm going to be pissed. Not because he needs a rest, but because Dexter Fowler needs a play, so you're going to sit him. I'm going to lose my mind.
Right.
I still just don't think this is going to be that big of an issue. I mean, this is an organization that can eat a player with a huge contract not playing games. My bigger issue isn't whether or not having Dexter Fowler making $60 million more is going to be an issue with Harrison Bader's playing time.
Yeah.
I more worry about it. Does that change how the organization looks at the payroll overall? Especially when we're talking about a potential $300 to $400 million contract they're going to be handing out. I don't care. This team has less of an issue sitting a guy who's making $60 million to play a great young player than it does picking up than it does having $60 million of dead money sitting when they're trying to add another $300 million contract. Yeah, of course that's spread across 10 years, but still, that's the bigger worry to me. It has nothing to do with him being on the field. They can eat that. Does that dead money change how they view their payroll going forward?
Yeah.
Trying to get a Machado, trying to get somebody.
And it's an interesting question. I don't know. I mean, they need to make a run at somebody, certainly. So I think you do add that into it. However, I don't know how this works. So if you DFA a guy, do you pay it all out in a lump sum? Maybe Hadley will know this. Do you pay it all out in a lump sum, or do you still pay it over that same time? You're just owed it anyway. I don't know what that looks like.
I don't know
like.
Either.
Is it deferred, you know, over the same amount of years that you otherwise would have collected it? I asked that question yesterday. We didn't know the answer.
That was a good point by Rock, though. Will that deter negotiations trying to get the big dog? Because every time I watch Manny Machado, oh, my, dude, that dude's sick. Remember I was talking about, what's Manny Machado do? Holy cow, that guy is athletic, man.
John may know the answer to this question.
Speaking of athletes, hey, John.
Hads, welcome to the show. Hey, also, Rock, do your diligence here. Turn up his theme song. When John enters the room, he has a theme song.
Whoa.
He's not actually entering the room, but you know what I'm saying. John Hadley, welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy.
I have the pants on today as well.
Wow.
Good for you.
Parachute pants.
Oh, nice.
Parachute pants.
Hads, question for you here. We were discussing Dexter Fowler, as I assume he'll be discussed every week in this city for the next all through spring training. If you were to DFA him or any player, is the remaining portion of the contract paid out in a lump sum, or is it still paid out during the same period that you otherwise would have had it if you stayed on the team?
That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to, but I will find out.
Yeah, because we're trying to figure out. Okay, would a contract like that, especially if you had to unload? I'm looking on Sporac.com or whatever the Spotrac.com. I don't ever know what's accurate and what's not, but it looks to me like he's got about $50 million left on his contract. And if you have to pay it out in a lump sum, would that be any deterrent from offering a guy $360 million named Bryce Harper or Manny Machado? If you got to just pay it out, he gets a $2 million signing bonus per year. That it was $10 million, $2 million per year over 5 years, it looks like. So if you're just doing $16.5 million a year, that's a lot easier to swallow than it is $50 million up front.
True. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I would have to believe it's paid out over time. But I could be wrong.
Hell, Chris Pronger just got done getting paid out by Arizona.
Yeah.
And
which is incredible.
And what's his name from the Islanders, the goalie, first pick overall? What's his name, John? You know what I'm talking about.
DiPietro.
He's still getting paid for the next 2 years, like 2.5 a year.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that looks like. I would like to know the answer to that question. We will make sure we find that out. Because I do think that would play
The funniest thing about that is that there's some moron who just thought in their head, well, you know what? After taxes, he's really only probably getting about 1.2.
And there's John. John's what he thought.
John's thinking that right now. 1.2 hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, it's anytime that you're talking about millions and people try to belittle it by saying, well, you only get half. Well, so what?
Right. Yeah. We need to stop. When we talk sports, we can't talk in our terms.
No, not at all.
That's the
Gino chimes in and goes, there is termination terms in most baseball contracts that spells out how the remaining money is distributed.
Yeah, and beyond that, I mean, if you release a guy, you owe him all the money you have left. And yes, I'm saying that's where Gino's getting to. I'm sure every contract is different in how they say if you have this much left across this many years, you have to pay it out across this way. I'm sure they're all different.
Yeah.
So Gino, you have not answered the question. All you did, as you normally do,
get him, John.
All you normally do is just convolute the situation, which is why you were never taken serious in the league and why you're never taken serious on this show.
He's right.
You can't answer the question, stay the hell out of the issue.
In fairness, Cam is the one that voiced his opinion for him by reading the text.
Yeah, I did. I read anything that comes my way. You know that.
He's the teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Cam? Question mark?
855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome. John, I asked this question to open the show here because we were kind of ripping on Dexter Fowler and who he's been. This year, Dexter Fowler finished with a batting average of 180.
It's not bad.
He slugged under 300, and his OPS plus was 59. So he was 59%.
For the mountains of Bush. What?
I don't get it.
I didn't hear what he said.
So anyway, my question, Hads, to you is, will Dexter Fowler be on the 25-man roster to open the season next year?
Well, that's a very interesting question, which I don't underestimate, and can't, well, you too, TJ, can address this. I mean, considering everything that went on and considering what went on, I just wonder how many of the guys in that room want him back.
Yeah, and we were sort of... Go ahead.
And while, you know, I can't say definitively that that's a legitimate factor, I would almost have to believe it was, because in the truest sense, he was a legitimate disruption in that room.
So do you remember the reporting on that? Mark Saxon reported, yeah, he's not returning texts and all that. And Derek Gould, I think this, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I thought Derek Gould came out and said that is not my information.
Like I said, I don't, that's, I was very specific in saying if.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what the truth is. I know that both those guys are very good reporters.
Right.
They're both very, very good reporters.
And the theory behind, you know, we obviously have had a close relationship with Derek Gould over the years at this station, and so we really know about his reporting. And you felt Mark Saxon's been all around the league, and he's done a really good job as well. The theory behind maybe reporting things that are a little bit more high leverage stuff is working at The Athletic, needing clicks and such like that, especially if it's something where it's two really respected reporters. I don't know the answer to that, but I think you're right. To the other thing is, you remember Adam Wainwright when he, I think it was the year he tore his Achilles, like dressing up in a tutu and just trying to make the guys laugh and just being there for team morale.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see Dexter Fowler one time after he got hurt?
I haven't seen him in months.
John, did you see him?
No, but I also didn't have to read what his wife thought, which was glorious.
True.
That's got to be another thing. That's the
no doubt, man.
Especially with UK. I've heard you talk about this.
Oh, my God.
If that's happening in the locker room.
Oh, boy. You got to keep your girl in check, man. It is what it is. Just like she's got to keep you in check in different situations.
Sure.
This is a different situation. You got to keep your girl in check. She has nothing to do with the team. She has nothing to do with anything. She takes care of you outside of the rink. Stay away from it. Stay away from social media. There's no reason for it. Only bad things come from that. Only bad things.
I did enjoy how Joe Maddon kind of came to his defense when all that stuff was coming out. Remember, he came out and was like, hey, we never had Dexter. It was awesome for us.
Mm.
Never had a single ounce of trouble.
Then
the Cubs went on to lose the division and maybe bounced after today
in
the playoffs.
Yeah.
John, what have you thought?
Can you imagine? Seriously. Can you see? And again, this is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy with reporters, talk show hosts, TV hosts. Do you know how many people just lambasted the Cardinals? Oh, Joe Maddon, they should have got rid of McGee. They should have hired Joe Maddon. Is there any more disappointing team? And I include the Nationals. Is there any more disappointing team in baseball right now than the Chicago Cubs?
I don't think there is.
If they're bounced today, Joe Maddon would have managed one of the biggest disasters in Cubby history, because I assure you that even with the losses this team endured, it is still one of the most talented teams in the history of Cub baseball.
They're loaded.
No question. And when you consider that they acquired Daniel Murphy at the deadline and they acquired Cole Hamill, and last year, Jose Quintana and Yu Darvish. And as you pointed out, John, they had some injury issues this year. Chris Bryant was on the DL for a good portion of the year and all that. All of that considered, it was their division to lose, and they lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to it, read some of the stuff up in Chicago, they're pissed at Maddon. And, look, I'm not convinced that they wouldn't be hot-headed and fire him if they lost today.
Well, I don't know if that would be the case, but I just know that all these Cardinal baseball fans that wanted to ridicule the ownership group, wanted to ridicule John Mozeliak. Joe Maddon was a Cardinal fan. He should have been a member of the family. Joe Maddon. Well, you know what? Joe Maddon pulled off a miracle. Good for him and the Cubs. But the last 2 years, considering the talent he has, I don't think there's a lot of people that are giving Joe Maddon a big A for his efforts on the bench.
No, that's a good point. And I wonder if because he really did do a good job. Well, he was down in Tampa, wasn't he?
You're looking at me.
But again, that's sort of a misnomer too, because Tampa had – there wasn't much more talent in this league than what Tampa had over time. Now, they wound up getting rid of it. They had to rebuild it. And, they, you know, what happened in Tampa, in the truest sense, that was more amazing than anything else, and I would like Rocchio's opinion on this, is they did an incredible job of not only player acquisition, but player procurement. I mean, they didn't waste too many significant draft picks or trades. They got quality guys, and they had, for an extended period of time, some of the very best young players in baseball on that team when Manning was managing that team. Now, did he get a little extra out of them? Yeah, I think you could certainly make that case in point. But did Joe Maddon take a bunch of nobodies? I'll tell you this much. Joe Maddon in Tampa during his formative years had more talent than Mike Matheny had to work with in St. Louis the last couple of years, and I guarantee you that. Rocchio, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Rock, go ahead. No. Rock did not hear what you said, John. However, I'm looking at his managerial record, and I don't know the makeup of the teams, but to your point, John, this would support what you're saying. In 2008, he won 97 games and won the AL pennant. And then they went, you know, had 84 wins the next year, but then they had four straight years of 90-plus wins. His worst year, actually, after the initial, they lost 100 games in his first year, nearly lost 100 in his second year. But his worst year, after all of that, because he had a really good 5 or 6 year run there, his worst year was 2014. They only won 77 games, and then he was hired by the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, he had legit talent. He really did. Now, if they had kept it all cumulatively, he probably would have had more success. I mean, because they doled off parts when necessary to cut back payroll. But this whole notion that Joe Maddon won with lesser talent is truly a misnomer. It really is.
That's interesting. And I do kind of think that, as you pointed out, they pulled off a miracle. Congratulations. And I think he was the right guy at the right time for that. But we've seen a lot of that. John Gruden was the right guy at the right time in Tampa Bay, and then he got fired shortly thereafter when they won the Super Bowl. Like, I think there is something to – the guy may not be the greatest coach in the world, but he was the right personality to pull the best out of the guys that were there with the talent that was already assembled. And then after that, he's not the guy to maintain. Not everybody's Belichick. And that may be what you're looking at here with Joe Maddon.
Well, man, I'll tell you what, right now, you brought up the Raiders. I don't know. As bad as it gets at times – with St. Louis sports, as frustrated as we may be, often pampered because of the Blues' relative success on a consistent basis, at least from the standpoint of winning hockey games, and certainly the Cardinals in particular during that stretch of La Russa, Jocketty / Mozeliak into the early Matheny years. I mean, it just, no matter how bad it gets, all you have to do is look in the mirror and say, I'm not a Browns fan. Because the way that the Browns lose football games, you can't make this stuff up. I'm sitting here watching that game on Sunday with my son, Brendan. We got back from L.A. early. And as soon as they went to the replay on that first down, I looked at him and I said, there's no way that a script's going to be written where they take away a first down, Oakland come back to win this game, and sure enough, that's exactly what the hell happened. I mean, the Browns could be 4-0 right now.
They could be.
Yeah.
That's true.
Absolutely.
And you could argue that they should be. I mean, whenever you get, it was either 5 or 6 turnovers. I think it was 6 turnovers against Steelers.
Yeah.
And they still didn't win.
I know.
John, I do want to point out that the two Missouri teams are the only undefeated teams in the NFL right now, the St. Louis Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs, the two Missouri teams, John.
Chiefs are fun to watch.
Woo, doggy.
I wonder if people are going to start believing what Notre Hadley has been saying about Patrick Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky. Remember last week, everybody, hold on now. Hold on, pump your brakes. Trubisky's still a young quarterback. He hasn't played that much. Trubisky has incredible skill. Trubisky's going to be a factor. I've got to take the Bears for real. What does Trubisky do? 119 touchdown passes. 119 touchdown passes.
Cam, here's what we need to start doing, you and I. So here's what happens with John. Like, we give out so many opinions every week, and then we can't remember
who said what.
So John, realizing this is the case, comes in and takes credit for every single thing that happened.
Every single
thing. And we
thing.
Can't remember what he said in order to correct him, and we don't clip things off. So Rock, this is your new job. Whenever John makes a prediction or a statement, we're going to clip it off. We're going to save it. And said, John thinks.
So he's like, last week when I was.
So then when
this.
He comes on the next week and takes credit for it, we can play back to him exactly what he said.
The thing is, he said both
that was, contradicted this.
Let me refresh your memories, because the old school boys like myself that listen in Moss, because they know the guru that is Notre Hadley. They'll understand. The millennials who are high, living down in mama's basement, eating meatloaf.
Okay, Rock moved out. All right.
I need to remind them, too, because I was sitting at a table. You could hear the owner of the radio station talking in the background, and you're asking me whether or not in the NFC North, you know, can Chicago be taken seriously? And I went on a spiel about how Trubisky's just played a little football. It's not like he's a seasoned quarterback. He's still learning the game. Then I went on to say that Patrick Mahomes, 2 years from now, could be the best quarterback in the NFL. You're telling me that neither one of
now, I do remember that one.
Did he
John.
Say that?
John
that?
Did say the second one. John did. I don't remember the first one. That's why I said I don't remember. I'm not trying to correct because I don't remember. I do remember the second one, John. Pat Mahomes, you
well,
and I agreed on it.
Because everything I say should go in your notebook so that you can reuse it at a later date to make yourself look good. I'm trying to help you help yourself.
Yeah. Okay, but here's what you have to start doing, John, and I'm serious because I do think you're like 11-1 in your picks this year.
Legit.
If you could start telling me before Sunday morning, and first of all, if you could actually, because all you did was throw names out there. So I didn't know you were picking the money line. You didn't tell me what the spread was. You didn't tell me what the over-under was or when you took it.
Nope.
All you said was, here. And all it is so that you can tell me you were
you
right.
Figure it out.
I mean, that's just smart.
You got to figure it out.
He's just playing the game better than you.
No, what he did
is.
So here's what he did. He left it all up for interpretation. So if it was the spread, if they were plus something, great. Otherwise, he could tell me he took the money line and had a bigger thing. So
again,
I don't know what
you
the
phrase
answer
it as
is.
Playing
up,
you like a fiddle,
again,
man.
You phrase it as he left up to interpretation. I phrase it as he covered everything he needed to. He covered his bases.
No, not interested.
Or crossed, yeah, anyway.
Once again, everything is relative, because if you were going to base it on the point spread, I was 2-1 instead of 3-0. I still won money. So again, I don't comprehend why it's even an issue.
Well, hold on. Because you're lying to me right now because you lost the over-under. You already told me you lost the over-under, so you would have actually been 2-2.
No, we didn't even talk about the over-under. We were talking about the money line and point spreads, were we not?
Well,
hence, that's the response. So you, once again.
It's all about framing, John. It's all about framing, John. You were really 500 this week.
You want everybody to couch things. You want everybody to be precise. But when the tables turned, you get all red-faced and upset. You pout a little bit.
Cam, what color is my face?
It's kind of
stuck on
your bowl. It's maroonish.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
I do like that, Patty.
It's just the way it is. I mean, all you have to do is just realize if you listen to Notre Hadley, that you will be much better off in life, and you will be much wealthier.
Well, Gino Ogic obviously agrees with you on a lot of things, and I think he likes you, too. He goes, Hadley and Fowler have a lot in common. They are both distractions in the rooms they are in. Go eat another hot dog, big hoss.
Oh.
That wasn't very nice. Eric Savoyslayer goes, TJ Gruden got fired after the 08 season in Tampa. He won the Super Bowl in 02.
Yes, but he wasn't very good after that. That was the point.
Donald's Russian friend says, just like how the Browns lose, you can't make up Hadley's ability to hold a job where sometimes he shows and sometimes he doesn't and sometimes he just calls in.
That's pretty good.
I win something for that one.
Mm.
I do got to talk about Hans Wyman.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it.
You might want to listen up there, John.
What's the number again?
God, I don't know. I heard from the staff at Hans Wyman this week that lots of 590 listeners are calling to schedule their free hair and scalp analysis. Basically, it's a head massage, which is just lovely. They're doing it because it works. Listen, it's working for me. I am beautiful, gorgeous. Gorgeous, more than anything. It's working for other 590 listeners as well, except for John. It will work for you, 2. Call now to get your free hair and scalp analysis and let the professional staff show you how. 1-844-904-HANS. Here's a special deal I worked out. Hans Wyman has special finance options for 590 listeners. That's actually really key, man, because, you know, sometimes it gets a little pricey. They got finance options for you. Call them now, and they will come up with a plan that works for you and your hair and your budget. Plus, they will take 750 bones off of any of their hair solutions. 1-844-904-4267. Appointments are filling up fast, so call now.
Got that, John?
Got that, John?
10-4, good buddy.
Yeah, baby.
All right, hey, we're going to go to break, and then we're going to talk some football. We've not talked. We talked a little. John talked about the Raiders. He said you brought up
the
Raiders.
We were talking Dexter Fowler, and he brought Raiders up.
And I never said anything about the Raiders.
Nobody did.
Anyway, we're going to go to break. It's Hardline.